this darkest grave, to the backwoods swamp where you hid the body, from the inside of your casket, to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Hi, this is Leonard Pickle with HauntCon, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here, live somewhere out in the country. Maybe right behind you. But you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Eric Weister here, special correspondent, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show. And remember, I hit the body.
This is Storm, you know me from the Haunt Minute, and you also know me because you are listening to The Big Scary Show!
Hi, this is Dog Soldier from The Big Scary Show, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, it's Tater, and apparently you couldn't find anything better to listen to, so you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Wicked Wendy, the new special correspondent for The Big Scary Show, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, it's the Unknown Scare Actor here in the depths of hell in the studio, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is the Haunted Mentalist, Jerry Vane, and no, you're not listening to Rotted Flesh Radio, you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
And welcome to the Big Scary Show New Year's Day Parade coverage. Such great floats, bands, and events coming down the road for you. And the parade is kicked off. We're watching it come down Mockingbird Lane. And one of the big floats, here it is. It's coming around the corner now. And look, there on it, it's the HauntCon float. Leonard Pickle is on there. It's depicting all of the awesome, great things happening at the 2015 HauntCon. Falling right behind it, it's the Deadline News Brigade. Yeah, reenacting all the events that have gone by this week in the industry. Shortly followed after that, Jerry Vane is leading the band as they're coming down playing a selection of tunes for you on this New Year's Day weekend. The skies are fantastic, gloomy darkness on the Big Scary Show New Year's Parade. Oh, and here comes the next float. It is the Unknown Scare Actor bringing to you and making you face your fears. Oh, it is too gruesome to describe. It will leave you with chills and thrills. Also falling down the parade route. Alright, here's the big float everybody was looking for. Yes, it's the Round Table of Terror float. Oh look, it's got all four of the ghosts on there. And look, their special correspondents there. I see Eric, I see Tater. Oh, it's a fantastic float. Decorated with many flowers and art, and it's depicting just everything from the show from the past 12 months. Absolutely fantastic. And coming down, here comes the Clown Brigade. Yes, it is the Haunt Minute Clown Brigade. We'll let them pass and get that out of the way. There are a few more things. Oh, a great popular float coming down Mockingbird Lane right now. It is the Gruesome Giveaway. Look, they are throwing prizes to the crowd. It is fantastic. It is awesome. And here we are getting to a conclusion. So many great fun things happening today here at the Big Scary Show New Year's Day Parade. And there may even be that. Yes, there he is. It is the Krampus riding down at the end of the parade, whacking all the good and bad listeners alike with a branch of sticks. Yes, all this in store. Grab your seat, pull it up, because here it comes. The Big Scary Show is kicking off your new year.
Gentlemen, I do want to say, if you haven't heard it a million times already, Happy New Year, best of the 2015 and everything that has to offer. New Year, new opportunities. New Halloween season coming up, only 10 months away. We're all excited about that. But of course, before the Halloween season, we got to go through the convention season. And for those who've been around every year, as we enter our third year of the Big Scary Show, we always talk conventions right off the top. The very first one we run into for the second year in a row is HauntCon this year. Going to be down in February in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at the Belle of Baton Rouge Hotel and Casino. And, of course, if we're talking HauntCon, we've got to have Leonard Pickle on the line. Leonard, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And in addition to myself, we've got the haunt rocker Jerry Vane way out in Vegas.
Yep. I'd be here and floating, waiting for the ark to go by.
And someone who's also going to HauntCon, our very own special correspondent, Wicked Wendy. Are you on the line with us?
I sure am, and I'm super excited to go this year.
Excellent. We had a great time in Houston last year, Wendy and I, and everybody else that went to HauntCon. So, Leonard, in a nutshell, you travel around the country. Last year you were in Houston. This year you're in Baton Rouge. How about giving a quick five W's, who, what, where, when, and why, about HauntCon 2015?
Yeah, we're really excited about being in Louisiana. The show's going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at the Belle of Baton Rouge, which is a hotel connected to a casino. So if you want to bring your spouse or somebody that likes to gamble, it's going to be a great opportunity for you. The show itself starts off with a pre-show tour that's going to be on Friday, February 6th. And then the next day is education and a trade show. That will happen Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night is our first haunt tour, other than the pre-show tour, which will be the haunt of a tour of The Rise, which is a great haunted house, multi-element, that we're going to do paintball, zombie paintball, all kinds of stuff there, so that should be fun. It's a great high-detailed show. It's got a lot of the stuff that that New Orleans area is known for in haunted house. And so we're doing that on Saturday night. Sunday night is the costume ball after a day of education and trade show. Doing the costume ball on Saturday night this year. It's going to be Mardi Gras themed because of the dates. We're right at the trail beginning of Mardi Gras, so there's going to actually be some Mardi Gras parades that are going to be going on in the city of Baton Rouge while our convention is going on. So anybody that wants to taste the Mardi Gras, they're going to get a great opportunity to do that while they're there. Then Monday is going to be all education. It's going to be hour-long seminars. Workshops like we do, making take kind of things where you learn a technique and do that on a small project so that you can take it home and do some and utilize it throughout your entire haunt. And then on the Tuesday after the show is going to be our full day classes, the things that are more in depth, longer all day classes to get everybody in a hands on workshop mode and learn some new techniques and learn some great stuff. So it's basically the 6th through the 10th. Of February, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Pre-show tour is going to go and see as many haunted things as we can in the area, Bourbon Street, the cemeteries in New Orleans, as well as some haunts in the area. Should be a great time for everybody. Just go to hauntcon.com, check out the details, and we look forward to seeing everybody in Baton Rouge.
Now, last year when you were, that was the first year you moved from the spring to the winter when you went to Houston, and you kind of tied it in with the retail show. What did you learn? What worked? What didn't work with moving it so early in the year? I mean, was it well received when you look back a year ago? Good idea. Obviously, you're doing it again early in the year. What worked? What didn't work? Or what would you what would you be changing this year from last year?
Well, the biggest hurdle that we had last year was that the Halloween and Party Expo, we combined with them to do the same show, and it's really two different, I mean, they're really two different markets. It was nice for our people to be able to go over and walk around through the retail store or the retail show, but, you know, most of those people don't really sell to the haunt level person, so there wasn't a lot that they could buy over there. It was kind of fun for them to go look at, but it wasn't a great bonus for us. And the Halloween and Party people could care less. Because we include our education in the price of our admission fee, you know, very few of them were really interested in buying a ticket and to go through the thing. The Halloween and Party Expo is free if you qualify. And as a HauntCon attendee last year, you were able to do that for free. And they're going to be in New Orleans on the same weekend that we are. So anybody that has that's looking for both, they can certainly, you know, New Orleans and Baton Rouge are about an hour apart. So you certainly have an opportunity to do both on the same weekend with one trip if you're interested in doing that. You know, the biggest problem that we had was cost. The cost for the costume ball, the cost for the trade show area, because it was in an exhibit, you know, it was in a conference center, convention center, but the prices were just outrageous. So it really, and we could have gone back with them again this year, but the hotel we'd have been in would have been, you know, it would have been $200 for our attendees, and our attendees just aren't in that level. You know, we're in Baton Rouge. We got an offer of our group rate for Hong Kong is $99 a night. I mean, you just can't beat that with a stick. So, it was really hard. We could have gone back in New Orleans and been with them again, but it really didn't make a lot of sense for either one of us. I mean, they were willing, we were willing, but it just didn't really make sense. So we're going to be in Baton Rouge, you know, just an hour or so down the road in the same area, and we're looking forward to having everybody come out and join us.
How was it as far as having it so early in the year? I mean, obviously, again, you're back to it first of the year. Were people telling you later in the year, I'm glad I was able to see all the stuff in January and February?
Yeah, no, the January, I think, is brilliant. It pulls us out of there's so many haunted conventions. I mean, when we first started doing this, Midwest Haunters started the same year we did, and those were really the only two conventions that were other than Transworld, and we had spread ourselves out, so that we weren't really in competition with each other, and that worked really well. But there's so many other West Coast and Haunt X now, and the National Haunters Convention, and even Canada, which announced just recently that they're not going to do one at 15. But it was really starting to get muddy. Even Transworld started their Halloween Extreme thing, which was in that May window. So it just really started getting thick for for all the haunters to figure out someplace to go, and especially for the exhibitors that can only pick, you know, one or two conventions to go to. So moving us to early in the year is brilliant, in my opinion, and a lot of the vendors that we talked to, you know, after the show agreed with us, so that's why we're going to stay in early in the year. It hurts us in a way that we're going to have to stay south, because it's not like you want to do, you know, Buffalo or Chicago in January, February, so that's going to limit us a little bit on where we can go as far as seeing some haunts. But having the show early in the year gives you know, vendors an opportunity to make some winter money, which is always hard to come by. It allows them to meet with exhibitors or to meet with attendees and see what they're interested in, you know, a month out. Anything that they can sell, they can actually build before Transworld even rolls around. So it's a great opportunity for people to try to test the waters and see what's going on, kind of to warm up. I mean, we're now the pre-show for the entire industry being first on the map, and we're going to stay there. I think it works really well for us, and everyone that talked about it thought that it was a great move.
Excellent.
Very cool. Now, you guys are known for your for the awesome different vendors you bring in. Are there any newcomers that you can tell us about that are going to be coming this year?
As far as education or what, newcomers to what?
Vendors on the trade show floor.
Vendors on the show floor. Yeah, let me look real quick here and see if I can find a list. We do have some people that, I mean, we're very much an incubator for the industry. Everybody that has got an idea, is thinking about doing some stuff for the show, has been really good about, you know, coming to our show first, getting their feet wet, trying to figure out what's coming up and where they you know, give them an opportunity to kind of get their feet wet before they jump in hard. You know, I'm looking, I don't see that list in front of me, so I can't give you a teaser on that yet. But by now, by the time this thing airs, you should be able to go to the Hong Kong website and pick up a full list of the exhibitors that'll be there at the show.
How many vendors are you expecting this year, or how much room do you have at this time? You know, the show will air on or around January 9th, so hopefully you won't be sold out.
We typically range around 50 exhibitors, and we're well on our way to being that, and that'll max us out. We would have to start, you know, putting people in closets if we have to have more than that. And it gives us a great opportunity to give some people an opportunity to show. And then, of course, our haunted garage sale that will be on Monday afternoon this year is a great opportunity for just less than $100 to get a table and to sell either some, you know, used props, broken props, you know, seconds, or even coming up with if you have an idea and you've got a prototype, even that, you can just go in for a very low price and show people what you're thinking about doing and get some feedback and see whether it's something that's worth trying. You know, Hong Kong, it was built on its education, you know, and there's no one that touches our education. We've got well over 50 hours of haunter education, you know, workshops that teach techniques, you know, like corpse flying a skull or doing, you know, building some kind of a prop, latex built a prop, so that you can go back to your haunt and do that, you know, many times over. We've got some great scenic classes that are going to be going on this year. We've got you know, how to build a zombie prop head, how to build zombie hands in two different separate classes. So with those two classes alone and some PVC and costume, then you'll be able to walk out of the show with a complete zombie. One of the coups that we have that I can really haven't even announced to anybody in our circle at this point is that Robert Kurtzman, who is he was one of the he's an incredible makeup artist that is been in, he's done all kinds of films. Let me look here.
Is that Robert Kurtzman's Creature Corps in Ohio?
Yep. Yeah, okay. He did Dust Till Dawn. He's I think he just got through doing the latest Freddy movie. And he's going to be teaching a mass class during the show. And we've done this for the last couple of years, and it's been really popular. On the first day of the show, he's going to teach you how to sculpt a mask on a bust. And the second day, or the second session of the class, you're gonna mold that mask that you just made, so that you learn how to mold it. On the third part of the class, you're gonna pour a silicone face piece into that mold that you've made of your mask, and then the last session is gonna be how to paint it. So literally, from starting on, you know, early Saturday morning, by Monday afternoon, you're going to be walking out with a custom-made that you designed, that you created mask that you literally could wear by the end of the day on Monday.
Wow.
And Robert is an incredible art craftsman. You know, he's done some really big name movies, so we're really excited about having him. And then he's going to do one of the all day Tuesday seminars. He's going to do start to finish 8 hours. Of you know, of sculpting, painting, hands-on. We put him together with Pache, and they've come up with a Kurtzman airbrush kit that you're going to, when you walk away from that class, you're going to have that in hand. So it's a great opportunity for you to learn from one of the masters, and even he's told me that, you know, he's kind of doing this because he and I bumped into each other and we just kind of started chatting one day, and he said, "Yeah, I'd love to come to your show," and that's kind of, it turned into this huge thing that he's doing for us. And he said, "You know, Leonard, if anybody else asked me to do this, I wouldn't do it. In fact, I'll probably never ever do it again." So it's a one-time opportunity to have some one-on-one instruction with Robert Kurtzman. He's a great guy, incredible artist. You know, done almost everything that there is to do in the industry, and it's a great coup for us. We're really looking forward to it.
I'm speechless. That's a great that's a big name right there, and I know that he's
He's worked with a lot of people on Face Off. I know he has a lot of people that have worked on that show who work for him now.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great year. It's our education is coming together very nicely, and we've got some nice stuff that's going to be both business. We always have three tracks, which is business, creative, and then a demo, which is more showing products and that kind of stuff, and then our workshops. Our workshops are designed to teach people how to hands-on take a small project, and use a technique, learn a technique to be able to turn that project into something cool so that they can then go home and do it to their entire show. We're doing some foam sculpting, some foam finishing. I mentioned the zombie head and the zombie hands workshops. We've got some pneumatics workshops, so people that are interested in basic pneumatics, basic controllers. We've got all kinds of education, lighting, blood gut delivery systems. We've got all kinds of stuff going this year. It's really going to be an exciting education series. And Hong Kong, we've always kind of felt like it's the best money that you can spend on your attraction, and we're looking forward to having everybody join us.
Excellent. I know in the years past you have had you've had a couple of, shall we say, celebrities there for meet and greets with fans, either somebody from a movie here or TV show, Face Off, things like that. Do you have anybody coming in this year?
No, not really. Kurtzman is really kind of our biggest celebrity, or our only celebrity that we're bringing in. We've got some other people, notables, that are going to be having booths and that kind of stuff, but we're not really... it really never made sense for us to bring in celebrities. It was just my thinking on that a long time ago was that the people that have haunted houses could come in and talk to these people about doing, appearances at their events. But that's kind of died out as far as a marketing tool these days, and I'm not sure whether that ever worked or not. I mean, it was fun to have them there. It was kind of cool to meet those people and hang out with them. But it really wasn't a boon for us, and it's pretty expensive to bring these people in and put them up. Some of them were kind of prima donnas, but so we'd rather what we've been doing instead is going out and finding people that are kind of outside of our industry, in marketing and in other things to try to up our game. One of the problems that we have, both good and bad, is that we've kind of taught our people, because they've been coming to our show so often, that we've kind of brought them up to a level, and they're constantly asking us, what's next? Can you bring us something more advanced? So that's been our goal for the whole year, is trying to look for, what topics are easy, but can we find somebody that can teach an advanced version of that, somebody that is doing something that that nobody else is doing, trying to get them, trying to educate the industry. I mean, we're very much an incubator for speakers. We're an incubator for exhibitors that come to our show, and we're an incubator for people that are trying to take their haunt to the next level and figure out how to make more money with it, figure out how to or get started. I'm doing a full day how to get started in the haunted house industry on my Tuesday session. It surprises me that every year that thing is full. So it's great that our industry is growing, and I think HauntCon, because we've moved around to different areas, I think we've helped in that growth, which really was our goal in the first place.
I will say that you were the very first convention that I taught a class at when I did an actor's workshop there, and I've since done that.
Yeah, we're still having to apologize to people for that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's worst year ever, right? So.
No, I see you did a great job. We really, really appreciate your assistance, and we look forward to having all of you guys to teach a class for us someday.
I know Wendy has expressed interest in that.
Absolutely.
We'd love to have her.
We'll talk off the air about that. But any other questions, guys?
Wendy, do you have any questions?
No, I'm very excited about coming down to the Baton Rouge and coming to the convention again and seeing all my friends.
Yeah, it should be a great time. Be sure to bring your costume for the costume party. It's a great opportunity for people to be able to dress up and get in character, get in costume, and have fun for a change. All of us are all working in October, so it's hard for us to go to any of the Halloween parties. And Hong Kong Costume Ball, the social event of the haunting calendar, is a great opportunity to throw on a great costume, or even, my keys for my criteria for a great costume that I wear at that show is, can I eat, can I drink, can I dance and have a good time? So that's my criteria for a great costume. But other people have other stuff and get in some of the wildest costumes and get-ups that you've ever seen. Crazy, scary, you know, we always seem to be terrorizing the hotel staff during that time period. But it's a good time, and we're looking forward to it. And, of course, it's Mardi Gras, so we might fit right in, not even get in any kind of a second look.
Oh, you're also in a casino, so weird things happen there. I will say that your portrayal of the evil fire marshal last year was nothing short of brilliant, and I got to steal that at some point.
Drew was going to dress up like Wendy, and Wendy was going to dress up like Drew, so, oh, shit, I gave it away. I'm sorry.
Well, that is scary.
Dang it. Wendy, you and I are going to have to work on something else now.
Yep. You can go as Jim, she'll go as Storm.
I may have to bring Princess Trainwreck out of retirement.
No! Dude, you already got enough bills for therapy from that already.
I can.
Alan Hobbs alone, was it Alan, or who was it that was just completely wigged out by that when you were going up the escalator?
Probably everybody. So.
Oh, I think, wasn't it Timmer?
It probably was. It was lots of people. But that's neither here nor there. Any final questions, guys, for Leonard and anything talking HauntCon?
No, I think that's about it.
Excellent. So, Leonard, again, for anybody wanting, you know, we're about 30 days out right now. Anybody wanting to make the trip down to Baton Rouge, check out the casino right on the Mississippi River, if my maps are in order. Right before Mardi Gras, looks like it's just a big party waiting to happen. How can people get tickets, hotel information? I assume there's still rooms available. I assume there may be even a vendor or two space available. Or if somebody may say, well, you know, I could teach a class, and how could they get a hold of you and get all the information that they need?
Yeah, everything that they need is at hauntcon.com. You know, people keep thinking I say Hong Kong, but it's HauntCon. .com, and all of the details are there. You can sign up to do a seminar. You can sign up to get a booth if you'd like to exhibit. You sign up for the garage sale. You sign up for the costume ball. Sign up for all the tours. You know, we're looking forward to having everybody come join us. It's going to be a great time. And thanks for letting me talk to your listeners. And as always, we look forward to seeing you guys there at the show. And we've already warned the bars to make sure they have plenty of rum, so that you won't drink a bottle of rum again this year. So we're looking forward to having you there.
Absolutely. Well, Leonard, again, a pleasure to have you on. As always, HauntCon's always a fun show. I think I've only missed one in the last 6 years. And any spoilers or any hinting about 2016? Any place?
No, we always announce that. We try to announce at the show. This year we were a little late, but we're hoping that we'll have something locked down so that we can announce some very interesting things going on in 2015 and 16. So we're going to maybe we'll announce it on your program sometime between now and right at the show.
We would be more than happy to get that information from you. So once again, Leonard, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Scary Show. Wicked Wendy, the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, on behalf of you guys, my name is Drew Badger. Once again, thank you, Leonard. We'll see you at HauntCon 2015. HauntCon.com for all that info.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCaron, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Ha And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the very first gruesome giveaway of 2015. Somebody out there is going to get lucky and win a great prize courtesy of Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com. Check out all their great products. We love them. They love us. Everybody wins. Now, you know how this works. I'm about to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. Please, if you find the answer, email us the answer, your name and number, to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight on January 19th, and you just might be the winner. So without further ado, the January gruesome giveaway question is... who is the special celebrity guest at HauntCon who's also teaching the mask class? If you think you know that, please send us your name and your phone number, and of course the answer, to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight on Monday, January 19th, and you just might be a winner of the January gruesome giveaway here on The Big Scary Show. Thanks again to Screamline Studios at screamlinestudios.com for supplying our great prizes, and good luck.
Grave Robber.
Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. On The Big Scary Show.
The Army of the Dead. The Army of the Dead. The Army of the Dead. Rising high. Oh, so frightening. A ghastly image to
Announcing the second annual Haunt X Haunters Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Circus Convention Center in Reno, Nevada. With 4 days of classes and workshops and a 2-day trade show, Haunt X is an immersive experience with activities taking place 14 hours a day, including a costume ball, cheesy movie night, a paranormal investigation and pub crawl, scary scavenger hunt, and the soon-to-be legendary hospitality suite. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. That's hauntx.com. We'll see you in Reno.
Greetings, mortals. And anything else listening, welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We'd like to start off the news with a new sponsor. The Big Scary Show would like to officially welcome Necrotic Creations as the new sponsor of the Roundtable of Terror. Necrotic Creations specializes in hauntingly realistic resin decor and accents, foam and latex props for static displays and pneumatic mechanisms, custom designs built to your specifications that will make your nightmares come to life, and so much more. Get more information at necroticcreations.com and welcome to the Big Scary Show. We have this update to HauntCon. HauntCon 2015 is pleased to announce a Friday night tour of 13th Gate and Necropolis 13 haunted attractions in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, along with the other area haunt tours, over 50 hours of education, the trade show, costume ball, haunted garage sale, and much more offered at the weekend conference. The 13th Gate is the ultimate haunted house where you'll journey through 13 very frightening themed indoor and outdoor areas where your worst nightmares come true and anything can happen. Necropolis 13 is unlike any haunted attraction ever created. Imagine walking through the crumbling stone and mortar above ground crypts of a haunted New Orleans-style cemetery in the dead of night. Do not miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a backstage lights-on tour of two of the best haunted attractions in the country. There is a fee, but go to HauntCon.com for all the details. We have this news from the Dead of Night Interactive Horror Experience in Hop Hog, New York. Because you asked for it, Dead of Night presents Blind Date, a scary love story, February 13th and 14th, 2015. This one's a lot different than the last two Dead of Night events. Tickets will go on sale soon, but we're going to need to make sure they sell enough to open. To RSVP on their Facebook page so that they'll hold this really cool event, go to facebook.com/deadofnightinfo. We have this acting news from the Haunted Barn in Staunton, Wisconsin. So, actors from the Haunted Barn, or those who are looking to rejoin for the 2015 resurrection, please check your invites on Facebook. Our first meeting is on January 18th at 1 p.m. If you didn't get an invite and want to attend the meeting, please message them and they will add you to the invite. Remember, there are limited roles available, so please be sure to respond. For more information, go to facebook.com/thehauntedbarnstaunton. That's Stoughton. We have this from the Lost in Wonderland Tim Burton Tribute in San Antonio, Texas. Lost in Wonderland's annual Tim Burton Tribute is set to fill the Wonderland of the Americas this March with art, merchandise, costumes, and more than 80 unique vendors. The bright costumes and photo ops are only a small part of what Lost in Wonderland has to offer this year. Shop the many vendors and find unique handmade jewelry, crafts, fine arts, pop culture tees, and many, many more things under this one roof. Lost in Wonderland is San Antonio's best pop culture event. The result is an amazing atmosphere tailor-made for expressing your inner geek, and where getting into cosplay is the obvious thing to do. Beetlejuice and Sandworms will be in attendance, courtesy of the Intrepid Productions. They hope you make it. For more information, visit facebook.com/LostInWonderlandTX. We have this update from Days of the Dead in Atlanta. it is with great pleasure that Days of the Dead announces a very special screening of Dorchester's Revenge, presented by filmmaker Tommy Faircloth himself at Days of the Dead Atlanta. Featuring Atlanta natives Jason Vale, John Kapp, and Christian James, Dorchester's Revenge had a tremendous festival run in 2014, winning numerous awards and critical praise for director Tommy Faircloth. Days of the Dead patrons will get the opportunity to view the movie for themselves on Friday, February 6th, as part of the Jab Pictures 48-hour film festival at Days of the Dead Atlanta. Entry to all films is free with admission to Days of the Dead. Tickets and vendor space for Days of the Dead Atlanta, happening February 6th through the 8th at the Sheraton Atlanta, are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. We have this news from Guthrie Haunts in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Vexed Valentine's Day Haunt will be a more interactive haunt than our Halloween format. We'll do some experimenting with different concepts in hopes it will increase your experience. We at Guthrie Haunts cannot wait for My Vexed Valentine, Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th of February from 7 to 11 p.m. We'll have goodie bags available if you follow instructions and a very special ceremony you may be a part of. Guthrie Haunts is located at 4524 Riverside Circle in Guthrie, Oklahoma. For more information, search for Guthrie Haunts on Facebook. And finally, a little convention news from the West Coast Haunters Convention. The West Coast Haunters Convention is happening May 15th through the 17th at the Portland Doubletree. We're currently looking for vendors, speakers, and of course, attendees. We're a 501c3 that gives many grants to professionals that work with deaf and or autistic children. All the details can be found at hauntersconvention.com, and we'll see you in Portland. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
Tonight's Roundtable of Terror is filmed before a live studio audience.
Gentlemen, you hear the music, so you know it's time for our world-famous, or soon-to-be world-famous, Roundtable of Terror. And if you haven't heard it too many times yet, of course, Happy New Year 2015. Brand new year, brand new start. You've all heard those cliches. So we thought we'd take a little time to reflect on 2014. There were some highlights, there were some not-so-highlights. I think the overall consensus for a lot of people was it was an okay year, not too bad, but we've got almost all, the members of the Big Scary Show here to kind of talk about it. We'll start with our regular hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from the Stormyland Studio.
The unknown scare actor.
Down in the depths of hell or something similar to that, making sure this recording gets done properly.
There you go. Way out in the high deserts, the Hauntstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
I'm sitting here in the newly redone Haunt Rocker Music Studio.
Nice. We have special correspondent Eric Weister with us.
Greetings, all.
And our, of course, super special correspondent, Tater.
I lost my highlights for 2014.
Fabulous. My name is Drew Badger.
You dyed your hair black?
Well, I'm down here in Charlotte where it was 75 degrees today.
Keep going.
Anyway, 2014, gentlemen, we started with HauntCon. We kind of ended with Legendary Haunt Tour and, of course, Christmas. So let's kind of go back towards the beginning of the year. HauntCon, I went down. Wicked Wendy, unfortunately, couldn't make it. We went down to Houston, had a great time. And we'll just kind of start with the beginning of the year. That early in the year, I know you guys didn't get to go down to HauntCon in Houston, but I know you guys were keeping busy.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, I went up to Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference at the end of February, beginning of March.
Absolutely. And Wendy was at that too, I believe.
She was, as well as Tater, and there's an interesting story about Tater and traveling with Wendy.
There's always an interesting story with Tater.
I think there's lost audio that's never going to be found either. I think I've saved
never say never, Tater.
But you'll have to. I'll let Tater tell you what he did on the trip to Canada, because the Lady of Darkness and I, we flew up there, and as most of you know, the unknown scare actor and the Lady of Darkness had a Canadian wedding at SeaHack,
which still means they're illegal in the States.
Well, right. There was Tim Hortons involved, so there you go.
And poutine.
Oh, that was the wedding night, right?
Okay, my mind went different on that one.
Granny was the flower girl, wasn't she?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Good taste out the window.
Oh God.
She came down the aisle with it looked like it was a tall boy in her hand, and she was offering it to some of the guests, and we had John Miore. He gave away the bride, and of course my friend Naomi Grossman. Everybody knows her as Pepper on American Horror Story. She was the best woman at the wedding. So.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're not having a SeaHack this year due to several reasons, which we will not get into at this point. But I hate that I missed it. I'd been to the previous two, and we had a great time, and I'm glad you guys had a great time with that. So, you know, hopefully Canadians will have conferences again this year or next year, and we can get back to enjoying ourselves up in the Great White Way, where I believe you were telling me it was 50 below.
I wouldn't say it was 50 below, but it got down to about 20 below.
Ouch.
He wasn't wearing a kilt then.
I believe Alan Hopps was saying it felt 40 or 50 below there, so if I recall, but ouch. That's cold. Yeah. When you start talking about below, it's cold. It doesn't matter where you are. It's cold.
Well, I got to tell you a little story about that. During the costume ball, Alan, or I should say Carl, was in full glory, but he was outside looking in the windows to the ballroom, just creeping everybody out that was inside the ballroom, because you turn around, you look, you see Carl in the window.
Was he just not allowed inside, or what?
Oh, Shannon wouldn't let Carl come in.
We had an argument. Granny and Carl had an argument earlier in the night, and they were trying to stay at odds. However, it didn't work out, I don't think. I think they ended up getting together in that same room eventually during that night, and playing a game or two, if I remember right.
I can only imagine.
There's just some things I do not want to know.
Jerry, it's probably a good thing you only go to one convention a year.
Yeah, I went to one this year, and I my voice is blown right now from bronchitis. But I only went to one convention, but I did hit quite a few haunts this year, actually.
Excellent. Unfortunately, Wendy's not here to verify this, but I think the highlight of HauntCon in Houston was we were heading back to the hotel, which was about a mile and a half from the convention center, which was the George R. Brown Convention Center. not necessarily the, shall we say, best part of Houston. And we got pulled over at like 1:30 in the morning.
Oh,
and, joy. And it was a black female cop that was like, "What you white folks doing driving through this neighborhood?" And we were just, "Well, we're heading to the hotel over here." She's like, "Oh, Lordy, you heading to that hotel? Woo!" And let us go. And Wendy
Wait,
can
were
absolutely...
you at the host hotel?
No, we were not. We were at some little dive off the way, so... Because it was only like $39 a night. And I think you could rent by the hour, too, which was kind of cool.
$39 a night? Oh, Jesus.
But that was kind of an amusing little anecdote with that. Plus the giant ice apocalypse that hit the day before. Did you get caught in that, Tater? When you went down?
No, I flew in the day after it happened.
Oh, you were lucky.
I believe.
I thought North Carolinians couldn't drive when we had ice. No offense to our Texas friends, but man, that was scary.
Didn't the bus slide into a car?
The bus had an accident on one of the pre-show things. So, you know, it was on one of the ramps, I believe, and it just started sliding. There was gravity in full effect. In fact, every exit ramp on the interstate was closed, if I remember, for like the entire width and breadth of Houston. So it was it made for very interesting, and not even to mention the trade show was cool. First time at the retail show, which is where we got the confirmation from Ed Douglas of Midnight Syndicate, who was working the retail show, that they were going to be performing live for the first time in their career. And we got the great chance to go see them later on in the fall. A Jim and Lady of Darkness.
Amazing, amazing show.
That definitely comes out as one of the highlights of 2014. For anybody that got to Cedar Point to go see that, you know, back us up on this. That was an amazing adventure.
The big question is whether or not they filmed any of those shows to be released later.
Oh, I hope so. We need to get Ed on the show sometime.
I heard that they did such a stellar job that the Cedar Point had decided nobody else can live up to that awesomeness and had to destroy the theater.
Yes,
and
I heard theater, about that. Torn down. So they closed it out in style. Yeah, that was fun. We'll talk about that in a moment or so. Moving on into the year, Transworld. Jim, you were at that.
I was. It's the first time I'd been since 2011, 2012, something like that.
I believe is where we met for the first time.
It was.
Working the other show's booth.
Yes, it was. Not that show.
Not that other show.
Yeah, like, watch it.
No, not that one. The other one. It was, you know, Transworld always lives up to the hype if you've never been. And it is a buyer's show, as everybody knows. But, you know, it's something you've got to experience at least once. And, I mean, everybody that came to the booth and said hello and, you know, got to see the unknown scare actor because he didn't bring his costume with him. And, oh, okay, there's Jim. Now we know who you are. To all the vendors that you know, I talked to over the weekend, the guys at Immortal Masks were amazing. And then we got to sample Froggy's Fog's edible bubbles.
Apparently, they don't like my new motto of put this in your machine and blow it. Apparently, they've declined.
Jim was farting Tutti Frutti.
Well, what was it I asked? I asked Chris if they could make it in scotch flavored, and he said, I don't see why not. So,
well, we do have, or we were working on, I don't know if we still are, margarita and rum and coke. Ooh. And actually, there was some of that around at the show because it went right to the nightclub show.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting.
Yeah.
But was there an alcohol content to it?
No alcohol content. Just the flavor.
It was a great show overall. I had some friends come over and help me. I also debuted my acting troupe, my traveling acting troupe, Mall, the Mobile Actors United Legion. We had a debut video that I had at the booth, and I talked to several haunt owners, and you know, we ended up with a couple of bookings from Transworld. So all in all, I think it was a great show. I'll reserve judgment for the other show that didn't get where he wanted to be.
So the other show.
Are you going to Transworld again this year?
No. Oh, wait.
It is my plan to. That is still up in the air, but if everything falls into place, yes, I'll be there.
I think we're at booth 1797 this year, so they put us off to the side a little bit. So
okay.
Everybody come down and say hi to us. I believe it's 1797. Check the Transworld website for the floor plan, and you'll find us.
Lisa and I will
put it at the children's table.
There you go. But let's see. Trying to think what else was out there. Haunt X in Reno. Tater and I had quite the adventure trying to find moonshine, at least a particular flavor. Wound up creating a brand new drink.
Uh-oh.
Heck yeah, buddy.
Yeah. That was...
And Tater, what was the drink?
Granny's Heavy Flow.
That's right.
Oh, complete, yes.
Complete with clots.
Yes.
We had that at MHC as well.
Yeah, but that was birthed at Haunt X, so to speak. So that was kind
Jim of... Jim knows what I'm talking about. I don't remember part of the trip.
We'll talk about that when we get to the MHC part.
Right.
Oh, crap.
Haunt X was a fun show. I know Tater had a really good time, and that was just really cool. I mean, I'd never been to Reno. And met a lot of cool people from the West Coast. We have a new sponsor from it, from the West Coast because of it, indirectly. And I'm going back this year, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for their second year. It'd be nice to see how they adapt and change and grow, and hopefully HauntX will be around on the West Coast for a good many years. And, of course, we have to get a Tater's Heavy Flow in on tap somewhere out there.
And you actually might be popping up here before then.
Yes, there is a rumor that I will be going to Vegas a day or two prior to crash with our own Haunster Metalist. And of course, as they say, you know, we'll just leave whatever happens there in town.
Viva Las Wages.
Until we have another round table afterwards, and then everything will probably get all reared, ugly head, blah 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 blah, and blackmail, etc. But no Halloween Extreme this year, but it's coming back in 2015.
No.
Yeah, it's coming back in 2015. It was not there in 2014.
I thought you said this year. I was really confused because...
You're easily confused, too.
You must have shouted the name of the Transworld organizer three times because she just called my cell phone, so...
Oh, maybe I did. I don't know. Speaking of the Transworld organizer, lovely Jen Braverman, who will be on a very... It will be on a future show here to talk about Transworld. One of the big stories of 2013, which came to fruition in 14, was the fact that Transworld bought the Midwest Honors Convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about that. All of you, I believe, except for Storm, attended MHC, if I recall.
Oh, Storm yes, was there. He was in the Rip costume.
Oh, that's right. He was dressed as Rip. God, how could I forget that? He's on our website. So, right. Most realistic Spike Rip costume I've ever seen.
Yes.
He does it better than Kelly Collins, even. But, you know, what you guys, you know, what were your thoughts about Midwest? Do you think they're going to keep it pretty much the same this year? Do you think they're going to make some bigger changes, putting their more Transworld footprint on it? Or
hard to say. Hard to say. We've been going to that for quite a few years, and a lot of the people we've grown to know weren't there last year, which was surprising.
You think that was kind of protesting, or do you think that was kind of like, well, you know,
it was hard to say. It's hard to say. I heard mixed bags on it and mixed reviews. I mean, it was a professional show and all that. We were there for different reasons, obviously, that year, but it was strange because a lot of the people we came to know and called friends did not show up this year, and that includes vendors. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
People don't like change. That's the biggest thing. Everybody gets used to things being their own way. And when, you know, something this significant as, you know, the show being run by somebody else now after 10 years, people tend to get their, you know, undies in a bunch over it.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, yeah, I mean, for me personally, I had a great time. You know, I mean,
you know.
Even with being sick when I got there, You know,
you
I still
fine.
Had a good time.
When we saw you.
I was just getting over it. You didn't see me on the Hunt tour.
Yeah, you were passed out on the bus most of the time.
I came down with the flu, and I ended up taking something that morning to help counteract it. Well, that works great until you add alcohol.
Yeah.
Then you become Jerry
the
drunk. Then you become Jerry the drunk rocker
with panties on his head.
Yeah, but I did have boobs around the panties as well.
Yes,
so.
You did. Yes, you did.
So there's a plus for everything.
Yeah, I also think another factor is economy and everything, and just that show is very make and take. It is there for, you know, newer vendors, that type of thing. Sometimes you got vendors who actually outgrow it and they need to go do Transworld, and then they get 9% of their orders and everything. You know, I've seen that in past years. So more on the verdict of Midwest Haunters is going to be over the next 2 or 3 years. And
with
the purchase and everything, a lot of announcements and stuff got out late. So some of your casual people who, you know, plan differently and things, and travel was just so expensive for a lot of people last year. So I think more of it was on timing and expense and what you needed for you to do to, you know, accomplish in the industry this year than it is, oh, change of management, let's skip it this year. I think there are a lot of other factors. So it'll be interesting to see how things develop over the next couple of years and if the crowd changes or if people are making more, you know, industry economy picking up, travel expenses going down, if you're going to see more of a bump there too. So it's it'll be interesting.
I will add this. Some of my friends from the local haunts who attended every year, the big thing I've said, and Jerry brought this up earlier in terms of getting their panties in a twist, because MHC was always very grassroots. And from what I heard from my friends, quite a few of the more freebie panels got eliminated and things like that, and quite a few people got very upset by that. Now, I don't know how much of that is true or not, but that is what got back to me.
As far as what? I'm not sure I follow.
Essentially, there was quite a few panels on there or things that were set up in the middle of the convention that were freebies that just basically open to the general public, no fees and everything. This is what I was told, and they got eliminated.
Well, you know, our Ask an Actor Trainer panel didn't happen last year, but then again, I didn't think we were going to be able to do it, and we didn't apply for it. So, you know, now that I think about it, that makes sense.
You know, yeah, but I had heard that from several people, so I don't know. Like I said, take it for what it's worth. I really don't know the ins and outs. It's just what got back to me from close friends.
Yeah, we'll certainly see if those come back this year. Interesting.
Well, my take on that is just that, you know, when Jen and company organized this, they were getting a lot of help from Kelly and Nina and Barry and Kathy. Excuse me. And, you know, some things just slip through the cracks. Those free panels on the floor, that was something that should have been, but, you know, there just wasn't time to get all of it organized, given the amount of time that they really had to put this together. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and just say that it just fell through the cracks, and hopefully we'll see something like that this coming year.
I think Storm.
Every change has got growing pains. You know,
yep.
It's going to take a couple of years for them to get their feet up to speed and get it going as the well-oiled machine we're used to being around.
Right. And Storm said it best: the next couple of years will tell. True.
Yeah, they've had a year to work on it now, and they saw what worked and what didn't work, and I'm sure they will make adjustments accordingly. And all I can say is, we got 6 months to wait and see. But speaking of time, it does look like on the clock we need to take a quick commercial break. We want to welcome our brand new sponsor, the Roundtable of Terror, Necrotic Creations. So take the time and listen to what they've got to say, and we'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, doing kind of a putting the nail in the coffin on the year 2014 with all the hosts, including Veister and Tater, our special correspondents and super special correspondents, talking the year 2014 in haunting. We just kind of wrapped up on MHC, kind of moving into the summer. And into the fall, everybody was doing build seasons. I'm sure that all of you who are working the actors, I'm sure Storm was busy at Trails to Terror.
Well, yeah, and I also wandered into, I took my teleporter to get from Columbus back to Providence in the same day.
That is true.
And popped in at TerrorCon in Providence, which was a neat little horror show, and I think that's got some real good growth, and I was able to take pictures with Jaws.
Nice. I was going to ask you about the horror cons that you guys attended. You know, I was at Mad Monster and met Elvira, which was a thrill for me among many other people. I know that Jim and I went to Scarefest, so did Wicked Wendy and some other folks that we know. We've gone to Scarefest, what, 3 years in a row now?
3 years in a row.
That's fun. I'm hopefully they'll bring us back. That's a fun show.
It
that's
is.
In September.
Yeah.
So it's so, you know, some haunts are open at that time, and at least, you know, some of them are even starting for the year that early.
Well, I feel about to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to say Scarefest. I agreed with Badger. It's a great time. I would recommend anybody that can get a chance to go because it's, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got haunt people there. It's got celebrities there. And most of the celebrities they book are so amazingly personable. That you could just sit there and talk and chat with them, you know, for 5-10 minutes. I mean, granted, you know, some of the A-listers are kind of hard to do that, but some of these other people are they love to talk.
And they do tend to hang out at the bar afterwards, which is kind of neat. You know, in years past, we've seen a couple of them doing some very, shall we say, amusing things after consuming some adult beverages. And I like the fact that they also do a good crossover with paranormal things. They have cryptologists, and they have ghost hunters, and they have paranormal societies. They have, like, an entire aisle dedicated to them, which is kind of a neat thing. When you do that crossover, you know, that's something that I think other convention owners could take note of. If you bring in a bunch of paranormal people or something slightly off from a standard, you know, convention of that ilk, you know, have a separate aisle, and it's kind of a neat way to see who goes in that aisle, and a good way to judge, you know, who some of the more popular vendors are and stuff like that.
Even just not vendors. I mean, some of the seminars and stuff. TerrorCon had several supernatural interviews and stuff. I mean, Rhode Island's a hotbed for a lot of the groups and stuff that got started. I mean, you know, New England, everything's 400 years old. So, I mean, you know, there's some plumbers down the street from me who have a very popular show. There are people who work with those groups. So, you know, they had a lot of seminars and things. You know, Lovecraft was from here, and they can always do stuff with that. The other thing with shows that, you know, as review and as you're listening to us and thinking about what you want to do for marketing and things coming up, these haunts that had booths and publicized and pushed their haunt at these shows, brilliant idea. And I think that reflected in a lot of buzz, a lot of building your social media going into your season. You know, a lot of these shows are summer, late summer. It's not too early to do things like this, and also see who in your staff is going to be dedicated when you ask them to come out and, hey, I need you to do 4 hours at a booth and not screw around the whole time. And you can get a good feel on who's going to be captains in your little group and actors and who you can rely on without really putting your haunt out there on the line. So I think you're probably going to start seeing more and more local haunts get into these shows, promoting themselves and really touching base with some of their core audience.
It's interesting you mentioned that because you were talking about that. I actually have somebody sitting here with me from Forest of Fear, and she was mentioning that that's something that definitely they never even considered. You just gave her a good idea.
Huh. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, and it has been mentioned many times. If you have a local convention going to your area and you're a haunt owner, by all means, buy a booth, buy a table. Your core audience, your primary demographic, is probably going to that horror convention to meet Sid Haig or Doug Jones or, you know, Doug Bradley or, you know, Robert England or, you know, even paranormal and TV guys and some face-off people and, you know, ghost hunters and whatever. And those are the people that buy your tickets to your haunted houses. And here you are with a primary and captive audience to advertise your product. You know, it's doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
And even more on that point, if you have trouble recruiting good actors when it comes time to open, you should have a booth there and be accepting resumes, having people fill out applications there. I mean, we've done that at the local fair here in Rhode Island for years. But something like these, you know, TerrorCons, these horror shows and stuff, these are the people in line who are always, you know, at the haunt going, oh, how do you work here? And, you know, well, it's October 25th, so I can't help you. Email us this time. This time you got a place for them to sign up for. You can do it for you. Do your background checks. You know, really invest into that, and you will build up a good core staff by recruiting early and, you know, recruiting at events like this.
Jerry, did you get to any cons or anything this year, other than Midwest? Did you go to any horror anythings?
No, unfortunately, 2014 was not a good year for me personal level.
Sure.
But
you did get to hang out with Kelly Allen and drink in San Diego.
Yes. No, not San Diego. Kelly Allen from Scaratorium was actually out here in Vegas. And we actually...
Kelly Collins. I thought you were drinking with Kelly Allen.
Kelly Allen was last year.
That was last year. Never mind. My fault.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to correct myself on this. Back in April. Yeah, I met up with Kelly Collins in San Diego at Stone Brewing Company.
Kelly Allen.
Yeah. God damn it. Some dude named Kelly met up with me. How's that?
There you go.
Kelly Allen and I, and we met up at Stone Brewing Company, and he is they're discussing about opening Raycliffe Manor in San Diego.
Yes.
They're trying to get some things figured out with that. Yes. I did meet Kelly Collins from the Scaratorium here in Vegas. We got together for dinner and hung out. And that was actually a lot of fun to do. This is the first time him and I have actually talked, really ever. You know, usually when you see him, he's, you know, running ragged, trying to get stuff ready for the bus tour, and, you know, and when the Scaratorium is open and everything. So it was nice to hang out. I did do some traveling this year, and I showed up on the doorstep of the unknown scare actor, and went and I shadowed him and his actors in Mall to the Indie Scream Park, which I still say is one of the best haunts I've seen.
I've got to agree with you.
That was just insane. I mean, you know, and like I mentioned in one of the past episodes, it definitely inspired me as far as writing for the CD after the one I'm working on. And that was actually a lot of fun. It was something I haven't done. I've never traveled, other than going to the convention, traveled outside to hit a haunt in a different area. So that was actually a lot of fun.
So I hope Jen's listening. We need to have Indie Scream Park on the tour next year.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would be stellar.
Because they're in a permanent location, right, Jim?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They're out in the middle of nowhere, so.
Very nice.
That, you know, had no cell phone service. I remember that one. And then I hit five of the six haunts here in Vegas. That was actually a lot of fun. And there's actually a possibility I might be acting at one of them this season.
Oh, very good. Speaking of acting, you got to work the Scaratorium this year, as well as Dr. DK and myself and some other folks. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was a little difficult being under the weather at the time. But it was a lot of fun. That's one of the reasons why when I got approached about acting at one of the haunts here, I'm actually considering it. Okay. No, I won't say I got the bug, but it definitely sparked my interest.
The only reason it was difficult for you, Jerry, is because you had to follow up after me.
And let's not forget, both of you had to follow me. So,
and the only reason why you three were in there is because I couldn't be there.
Oh, brother.
Ooh, it's getting thick now, isn't it?
I'm going to
need your shovel.
Tell me I'm pretty, guys.
Pretty damn ugly.
Just tell me I'm pretty. That was as disturbing as they got.
Yes, it was.
I'm sure that people are still paying for the psychologist bills on that one.
God, I hope so. But moving along into the fall, you know, we were just talking about Scarefest, and I believe at the end of September, we actually made the trip up to Cedar Point to go check out Midnight Syndicate. Again, as I mentioned earlier, one of the absolute highlights of the year.
You know, it'd be nice if you guys were in Ohio that you would give, I don't know, your super special correspondent a phone call so he could meet you places.
Yeah, that's right. You guys went up while I was leaving. I was flying home when you guys went up there.
We figured you were probably working Froggies at some very important thing that would make Adam and Chris a whole lot of money, and so that's why.
Yeah. Always.
Just love the heck out of Midnight Syndicate Legacy of Shadows. Got the confirmation in Houston at HauntCon. They said it's going to be here. It's going to be in September. We're going to be there the entire season at the Good Time Theater, and, you know, everything just lit up at that point. I knew I was going to have to go into that. And, of course, you know, Jim and I made that trek up there and was worth all the hassles of flying to Cleveland and driving across to Sandusky and all that good stuff. But, man, that was a great time.
Yeah, it was a hassle.
It's fog there, too.
Yes, indeed.
You know, that four-hour drive was a real hassle for me, but, you know, absolutely amazing, you know. And, you know, both being that Badger and I have both come from Paramount Parks or Cedar Fair Parks, to see the show being done at the flagship park, because they actually had haunts open on Sunday.
Yes.
The indoor haunts. The production value was astounding.
I see where they spend all their money. It's certainly not on the parks that I cut my teeth on.
Or mine. The three haunts that we went into were so intricately detailed. The actors were good.
The actors were great at one.
Yes. And the show was amazing in all three of them. So you couple that with seeing Legacy of Shadows...
twice.
Yes. Without going into too many details, the reason we saw it twice, other than the fact that we just loved the show, was our dear friend Ed was very upset after the first show.
I thought he was going to pop a vein in his forehead. My God, he was angry. But
he was, and you know, he's out there meeting and greeting people after the show, and he says, "You guys, you got to come back to the next show. Trust me, it ends differently." So we went back to the show, and we saw what he was talking about. Which made the show even better. But we wouldn't have known anything was wrong if he hadn't have said anything.
That is true. Because the reason for the show ending differently was just outside, which was really cool. And that was I actually thought that was a cool touch as well. I would not have minded either one, the way it ended. And we're not going to give away anything. You know, buy us a beer sometime or something, and we'll tell you what happened. But moving along into the haunt season, I believe most of us, you know, at least got out to a few haunts. Some of us were working the whole time. I got out to a handful. I know Jim's group, Mall, was working pretty hard and heavy and working behind the scenes on becoming one of those pesky haunt owner things as well. yeah, as has been mentioned several times in the last few weeks.
That started, actually, the talks for that started on Halloween, actually.
Okay.
Because it was the last night of mall season, and since Screammakers had always been very cordial to us, and, you know, we did Terror Tech there in the off season, and we went and helped out with a couple of the other holiday shows that they did, you know, I was approached by Ryan, and we forged a partnership, and we just got done with our holiday horrors right before Christmas, and it was successful. We increased our numbers exponentially from the first season, so we're pleased about that. And, you know, it was a great season overall. I mean, I've got Maul on one side, I've got a Haunt on the other, so I'm going to be one busy man in 2015.
How was that? Are you going back to Indie Screen Park this next year, or are you going to be having Maul work your Haunt?
Actually, I'm going to be adding some people to Maul. So I'm going to kind of split things up, because our last night at Screen Park, I sat down with Ben, and he goes, "Give me a call in 3 weeks. I want to book next year." And I said, "3 weeks?" And he said, "Yeah, I like to get things done early." So, we are actually booked again for the busiest weekends of the season for 2015 at Indie Screen Park, amongst other places.
Excellent.
How busy was Granny this season?
Oh my gosh. Started September 12th, didn't end until November when I saw him Legendary. So
there you go.
Legendary is, I guess, a stopping point.
And can I just interject for a second, Tater?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, and this comes from not only from me, but every single actor in Maul, thank you for referring Benjamin to us.
Oh, you're welcome. As long as they hire me next year, you know, and fire you, I'll
know. And I'll put it out there for everybody in Big Scary Showland. The reason we got the booking at Indie Screen Park is because Tater was busy, and he said, "Why don't you call Jim? He's got a group of people." And there we are. They couldn't have been happier with us.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
You know, if I'm busy, I'm more than happy to provide other actors that are good quality work. You know, if you're not a crappy person, can I say that?
Yeah, that's all right.
Then, you know, you're going to get work. And, well, couldn't happen to a nicer group of people from down the river, or whatever they say in Ohio.
The bromance is flowing.
Oh, God.
Amen to that.
Jim's my favorite haunted house ghost person.
Ghost person.
Ghost host. Ghost.
The ghostest with the mostest.
Oh, that's because I live the closest out of all four of us.
That's pretty much
the
it.
The closest ghostest.
I basically suck, in other words, is what he's saying.
I don't know. Wendy's a close second, so... Wicked Wendy's a close second.
Yeah,
first in our book, though. So, Eric, how was your career your season this year? Working Springboro, if I remember, that was client of mine a few years ago. Great, one of the best hay rides I've ever been on.
There's an interesting story behind that. When as most people on here know, we travel a lot. My wife and I during the haunt season, just checking out haunts cross country. And because of another podcast, I used to do reviews. But
no name.
We'll leave that alone. But essentially, I became very close friends with one of the gentlemen by the name of Mark Meter. And around June, he offered Lisa and I positions over there.
Nice.
And essentially, we got put in the black bog in the bottleneck position. Basically, we were like crowd control. We had a vampire theme, the two of us. And we basically kept the flow going and ebbing as was needed. And it was really a wonderful experience for my wife and I. Not only do we have tremendous success, we actually got an award for most realistic vampires from a major haunt reviewer site out here. But they took us in like family. I mean, we were a little concerned because, you know, most of the crew there was a lot younger, but we almost became like this mother and father haunt figure over there, which is really nice. The people were fantastic. These kids were great. It was just a really gratifying experience overall. We're welcome back again next year, but it was really nice. Plus, on top of that, we did some pieces for both the Devil's Attic in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Akron Haunted School and Lab. Both of those guys took us on behind-the-scenes tours and had us acting with them on their opening nights.
You know, you just admitted that you're really old when you're talking about all those kids and all that, so...
I don't mind. I really don't mind. I got one funny, so you're talking about horror-related conventions? We went to G-Fest in Chicago back in July. That's Godzilla Fest. And,
nice.
It was interesting because we had one of our friends from Bloodview, who's a young lady by the name of Mandy, who's kind of like, we're like her surrogate parents. We call her our daughter, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she can be kind of like a deer in the headlights. And we're walking around the merchandise room, and these two guys and a third guy in a big Barney costume with a big joint, believe it or not, a big rolled up joint, started hitting on her and everything. And I walk up there, and these guys were getting a little too touchy-feely, if you know what I mean. And I walk up there, and I go, hey, guys, I'm her dad, and I've never seen people run so fast in all my life. But the guy in the Barney suit, he starts clowning around with me, and somewhere out there, there's a picture of me kicking Barney in the nuts while he's holding a joint.
Sweet. We need to put that up on the website immediately.
Oh, my God, I haven't found it yet. I mean,
immediately.
If you can find it, go ahead. But it was so funny. I mean, my...
I went to a horse fest.
A horse fest?
Horse?
No, I went to...
That's a pile of manure if I ever heard of it.
Yeah, it is. one of them conventions that your guys are talking about. It was a big one, too. I went down to Dragon Con down in Atlanta in August. And I was by myself. Jackie and Doug were down there, and I kind of rode with them down. But you know, they had their things they wanted to do, and I didn't look at a program, so I didn't know what I was going to do. And I ended up helping out RJ from Face Off a lot. RJ, the last day, RJ was teaching a class, and he was like, "Well, why don't you just watch my booth?" While I teach the class. So I'm sitting at the booth, and a lady walks up to me, and RJ at his booth has a big old banner with his face on it that says RJ Hattie, Face Off. The lady looks at me, looks at the banner, looks at me and goes, "Wow, you really lost a lot of weight since you've been on TV."
Oh, God.
And thought I was RJ from Face Off.
So. Best prosthetics ever.
Yeah, right.
It's almost as if you're a different person. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, so honestly, real. At those types of conventions, I would more expect Hater to be walking around in a Deadpool outfit. You know, if there's comic book or cosplay, Hater would be Deadpool.
No. The best one was when he dressed up like the Incredible Hulk. That was hilarious.
One of these conventions, I'm just going to rent a table and have a banner with my face on it and say that I'm from some TV show and see how many people come and try to get my picture.
Tater. People think you're from Jackass, definitely.
Hey, Tater. Nice. You're out in Ohio, the woods, right?
What's that?
You're out in Ohio yourself, right?
Yes, yes.
What part of the state?
The middle.
Okay, we're out in Dayton. I was just curious. Are you going to be at Indie Comic Con?
Probably not.
Okay.
When's that?
That is in mid-March.
That's Transworld time, isn't it?
It's a week before. March 13th through the 15th. Jenna Coleman's going to be there, so we're going to be going.
I don't know who that is. I'm a horrible person.
That's the current current Doctor Who companion.
Oh. Yeah, I never... this is going to sound awful. I never... got into the celebrity thing. You know, it's cool. I got a deck of cards somewhere where the celebrities have signed each, you know, like celebrities have signed a card and I got a deck. But I don't have, you know, all of them. And I never really understood people waiting in line 7 hours to meet Norman Reedus just to say hi and have him sign his autograph. You know, but So I don't really go to a lot of those because I don't like crowds and I don't like people a lot.
I worked for Comic-Con for 15 years, and you become kind of jaded with the whole star thing.
No, I don't doubt it.
Although I am looking into going to Comic-Con this year.
I will say, because I was RJ's handler for that weekend, we had to take him to the celebrity photo op section, and when we went back to the backstage, Patrick Stewart was back there, and I said hi to him. Nice. And that was kind of cool.
I got to work as Elvira's bodyguard during Mad Monster Party. That was kind of cool. So, crowd control and all that. And wearing a kilt at the same time. So, hey.
I stood next to Halle Berry, Hugh Jackman, and Angelina Jolie for their autograph signings in 2004. As the head assistant for the autograph fair, I had to sit there and stand there next to them the whole time to make sure everybody was doing what they were told. Nice. And Angelina is gorgeous.
Oh, for everyone listening at home, we have to put up warning signs so people don't trip over all the names that have just been dropped.
A free pooper scooper will be given out with every episode.
There you go. Moving along, legendary haunt tour this year in Salem, right after the Halloween season, so to speak. A great way to wind it up. Storm, you had a large part to play in that. You and I went up there and had a had basically an epiphany at Haunted Overload, I think.
Pictures do not do that place justice. It was mixed emotions, because you're like, that was incredible. I sucked so bad at Haunting. We don't do this. Why not? I mean, it's a little bit of plus and minus there, but that was really neat. A lot of fun. Salem was a lot more fun than I thought it'd be, mainly because we're hanging out with haunters the whole time.
Oh, sure.
You know, people wandering into it. The haunts did an incredible job. You know, I know a lot of people acting and working at most of them, and I mean, just the show they put on almost exceeded what they do on a Saturday night during the season. So it was fantastic, and weather cooperated too for New England, which is always nice. A plus.
I can't remember if it was you or Alan who said, and it might have been you who said, if that guy at Haunted Overload ever decided to sell cemetery plots.
If he ever decided to sell pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's got a hell of an inventory.
Sarah, great. Yeah. But yes, no, I'm the one who wants to be buried there.
Oh, yeah. Join the club.
Well, he's also the one that won on the Great Halloween Face-Off or something like that was on TV. He won, like, $1,000.
I didn't see the show, but I heard about it.
Yeah, it was. It was ABC, they do the past
their Halloween specials.
They've done the Christmas light fights. So they did a Halloween light fight. And, you know, they started getting this one together a couple of years ago when they were still even doing it on their yard. So when it finally came out, you know, there was some people going, well, he's a professional and stuff. But, you know, started out as a yard haunter, and, I mean, it's just an incredible show. And there was a $10,000 prize. But a neat thing about that is one of the charities that they raise money for at the haunt up there in Lee, New Hampshire, is a local animal shelter, and they actually gave all the money from that ABC special to that. I mean, you know, hopefully the presentation and everything with that will lead to them doing more of these home haunt specials and really showcase what a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people in the home haunt aspect of the industry have to show out there. But I think how big and how great they were, it was a good selection of the contestants they had on this year. It was really neat to see Haunt Overload win for the growth and where they've taken their show.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, but the one thing, too, also is the fact that, I mean, you know, they showcased home haunters, okay? And, yeah, even though this was a pro haunt, the showcasing, it showed off the different variety that a lot of these home haunts have. As simple as putting a facade in front of your house to the one that built that entire huge pirate ship in front of the house.
Yeah, exactly. They showed it off very well, and hopefully that show's been enough success for them to throw a couple dollars and do it again in coming years, because I think it's really great, A, for the industry, B, for the home haunters, and C, just getting Halloween and everything back out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't spend all that money on those jack-o'-lanterns. There had to have been hundreds and hundreds of those. But hanging out at Legendary was just a whole lot of fun. And, you know, with Brett and the Depkeys down in Florida, that was that was a good weekend, and I believe they're going to Chicago this year. So anybody,
Chicago.
Do what?
Yeah, they're going to Chicago.
Going to Chicago this year.
Yeah, you gotta say
hanging
like
out
this.
With the Zami.
So, hey, I'm Chicago and watch it.
Timmer's haunt.
Oh, so we can make fun of you. Excellent.
Yeah, go through a haunt with Dick.
Oh, God.
That needs to be a 13 questions of doom in on itself. Ditka versus Freddy or something. But anyway, rolling finally into the rest of the holiday season, it sure seemed that the Krampus was making, or the Krampus was making a much bigger, you know, presence than in years past.
It seems like every year, the more and more, I mean, not in leaps and bounds, but yeah, every year it seems like just a little more is getting on. I don't want to use the term the bandwagon because that's not what I'm looking for, but they're getting onto that theme and expanding from it.
It's kind of grassroots, you know,
yeah.
and a whole plethora of haunts this year. We're doing Christmas-themed haunts, whether it was a Krampus, whether it was Scary Santa or Christmas Sleigh or some kind of silly, creative, punny type title. But there was an awful lot of shows that came about this Christmas season, and
our own hunt owner had had that as well.
Yes, I did. Out in the queue line for a couple of nights, I had a Krampus wandering about.
Very nice, and hopefully 2015 we'll see that expanding to even more holidays and even more haunts. We'll do that. I went to my very first Christmas-themed haunt this year, and it was a lot of fun. It wasn't as scary, obviously, as the Halloween-themed, but it was very entertaining. I thought seeing all the really cool props and everything lit by, you know, yellow and red and purple flashing lights was just a really nice little touch. I mean, the only lighting in the entire place looked like Christmas lights, so... No, it put a whole new spin on going through haunts, so I liked it.
I was in San Diego for Christmas, and we drove up to Pasadena to visit my sister up in Sierra Madre. And she took us down the street to a neighborhood where, I mean, it took us an hour to drive through this area because every single street had a different theme. You know, one street would be all Christmas trees. The other one would be snowmen. I mean, they had all... And one of the homes had a big bend on it with Santa Claus flying over it, and there were bubbles coming off of it. And I went up and asked the guy, hey, where did you get these? You know, where'd you get the bubbles? And Froggy's Fog, froggysfog.com. I'm like,
heck yeah.
Nice. So, but one of the houses, and I tried to get a picture of it, and the picture did not come out. Even when we slowed down, there just wasn't enough light to get it. One of the houses had a Krampus.
Very nice.
And people are standing in front of them like, what the hell is that? So it was, I mean, I'm like, oh, they got one out. And everybody, my sister and her brother, like, I mean, her boyfriend, like, what is that? And I explained it to them. They're like, that's what that is. They'd seen pictures in their news feeds on Facebook. They didn't know what the hell it was.
One person at a time. That's all it takes. Just educate one or two.
Time.
There you go. Well, looking at the clock, it does look like we need to wind this up, so we'll just kind of go round robin here. What was your favorite part, or what was your favorite haunt-related thing of the year 2014? Let's start with Veister.
As I said earlier, just first-time haunt actor getting an award and just having such a wonderful time with it.
Storm.
Putting jack-o'-lanterns in my new house.
Oh, that's right. Casa de Stormy is up, or Stormyland. Tater.
I got a new cape. And help.
To go with his underoos.
They probably still fit from age 8, too.
Keep this crap up. I'm going to put on the Hulk costume again.
Do it. That was awesome.
How about you, Jim?
Well, you know, I got to say, it was a toss-up between the amazing season I had with Maul and becoming a haunt owner.
Jerry?
Me? Excuse me, I'm losing my voice again. Going to the Indie Screen Park, I have to admit, I really, really, really enjoyed that.
Excellent. And, of course, we forgot to mention, and I apologize for that, you did put out a new CD this year.
Yes, it did. Bodies in the Bayou. It sold out the first day of the convention.
Congrats.
So I was happy with that. I'm working on Circus of Nightmares, and that one is a question mark right now due to personal changes in my life, delaying this production start, and I'm currently working with two bands right now that has got my time divided up between 7 gigs between now and the first week of February.
Very, very cool. I have to say the highlight of mine has to be a toss-up again between either seeing Midnight Syndicate Legacy of Shadows and going to a small little backwoods haunt in the upstate of South Carolina called Darkness Pines. I'm going to give him a plug. I have never seen more creative uses of junk, foam, chicken wire, and just, you know, absolute chaos to bring about what had to have been the most entertaining and gory haunt I have been to in about 2 or 3 years. Kudos to you guys. You put a hell of a lot of effort into that. I still don't know what half that stuff was that I saw, but it was fantastic.
So you went to Sanford and Son's Junkyard?
I went to Lamont's Emporium of Sanford's Junkyard. I mean, you know, nice. It was fabulous. I recommend
myself on that one.
some of the scariest thing is just getting there. So, you know, if you like long, dark, unlit, shadow-driven back roads, and all of a sudden,
that sounds
there
like
it
my
is.
Man.
There you go. But, gentlemen, I do want to thank you guys for taking the time to talk and kind of put the nail in the coffin on the year 2014. We're all looking forward to 2015. HauntCon's a couple of weeks down the road. Transworld, Midwest, Halloween Extreme is back. Lots of conventions, lots of haunts. Hopefully this will be a great year weather-wise, and everybody has lots and lots of fun. But I can't stress enough, we couldn't do this wonderful roundtable without our co-hosts, including Storm.
Roundtable at BigScaryShow.com. Next year, give us ideas, be a guest on our roundtable, and we might be talking about you in another recap.
Hey, I like that. The unknown scare actor.
My mind's a blank.
As opposed to?
Snap.
Snap. The Haunster Medalist, Jerry Vane.
Circus of Nightmares coming soon.
Excellent. Eric Weister's special correspondent.
Just remember, Svengoolian, brush your fangs, comb your face, and bite Mama goodnight.
Excellent. Super special correspondent, Tater.
I'm lost. Are we talking about things that I should name my new CD?
Yes.
Or talking about things that give me nightmares?
Both. Why not both? My name is Drew Badger, hoping to see you on the road sometime this year in 2015. Good night, 2014, wherever you went. We'll be right back.
Tater, you dick.
Transworld's Halloween In Attraction Show returns to the America Center in St. Louis, Missouri, March 19th through 22nd, 2015. The Transworld Halloween In Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. There is no other show that has as many exhibitors and industry-related products. For the past 19 years, Transworld's annual Halloween In Attraction Show has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. This show is a must-attend event if you are thinking about opening or currently operate a haunt, corn maze, farm, pumpkin patch, paintball field, family fun center, amusement park, zoo, aquarium, Halloween retail store, or anything Halloween related. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a success. Each year, the show continues to grow with new exhibitors and new product and more buyers on the show floor. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of over 300 exhibitors that you need to see this March. See you at the Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show.
to you from the darkest reaches of the earth. This is a Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, Happy New Year. It is 2015. A new season, a new year is upon us, filled with hope and joy. And right now, yes, you've worked on your New Year's resolutions. Yes, this is going to be the year where, you know, that gym membership makes sense. And you're going to fit into that zombie costume that you wore 5 years ago. Yeah, that's right. This is going to be a good new year. New year, new you. Well, it's also time to really focus on resolutions for your haunting for this year. It's not too early. This is the time to do it. Be that resolution. Do it now. Make sure you start getting the pieces in place. Remember that really awesome idea you had last year, but you never had time to do it? Don't wait till August. Don't wait till September. Start working on it now. Come on, it's cold outside. The news is telling you about the imaginary wind chill, which, don't even get me started, but physically doesn't happen. It's just something to tell you that it's colder than it really is to sell macaroni cheese and wool socks. Storm at BigScaryShow.com if you want me to explain the physics and the marketing behind that. But wind chill is just for macaroni cheese and wool socks. So while you're hiding from imaginary temperatures outside, you should be inside working on your resolution, doing that awesome project. Because this is the year. This is the year you're going to do it. It's going to be fantastic. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Experts still aren't sure how humans are being infected. This day, the virus is unpredictable. A new virus.
Third case of human-to-human transmission.
Virus.
The death toll is rising.
The new virus.
A threat to the entire world.
Wednesday 13, come out and play. Exclusive on the Big Scary Show.
Obey, obey.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Welcome to 2015, like you haven't heard that enough. Well, you know, for the first Face Your Fears of the new year, I thought about this for a little while. And most of us haunt owners usually have a game plan, what changes we're going to make. Sometimes some of us start right after Halloween. Sometimes we all need to decompress until the beginning of the year. So I'm going to go with that. And I'm sure plenty of you out there are getting back into the thick of planning, and those little thoughts run through the back of your mind. This is a great idea, but can I pull it off? Can I execute this properly? And those little worries sit in the back of your head. And no matter how great it looks on paper, now how many times you run through it and it sounds great to you, but that little nagging fear, it just sits back there and says, what if this doesn't go over well? Well, if you've got the confidence that a lot of guys out there I know have, you know, you're still looking for justification, I guess is a good term, because it may sound great and everybody may say, hey, it's great, but you don't know for sure until you reopen in season and you get reactions from the guests, because they're the ones that tell the story. So we've all got those little nagging fears behind us, but we keep moving forward, trying to give everybody a quality product to make sure we're the scariest haunt around. But that little fear will keep creeping up until opening night, when all of a sudden, all of your plans come to fruition, everybody goes through, and you'll be able to tell in a microsecond whether or not all that hard work paid off.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
This mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest Fears Unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
Alright, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
Oh my god! DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
The B-Movie Monsters, 1031, on the Big Scary Show.
Trees. The moon shines on the fallen leaves. Crawling skin and a twisted cane.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is fast becoming the Leonard Pickle and HauntCon show. No doubt, because of all the great interviews and the news that we have, HauntCon is fast approaching. But interesting thing happened the other day. I heard wind of a rumor going around regarding Leonard Pickle and testifying in court. That's enough to pique my interest, and thought we'd get Leonard on the phone to find out what's going on. If is he in court for some reason or something like that? Leonard, are you on the line with us?
I am. Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure. What's this? As I said, I just heard a rumor saying something, Leonard Pickle, court case, testifying, haunted houses, you know, catchphrases like that are always going to pique my interest. So what's going on?
Well, I really I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to put this rumor to bed. I had two people came up to me during the IAPA convention and asked me if I was testifying against haunted houses for the plaintiff, for somebody that got injured in a haunted house. And I'm not. Put that to bed immediately. I'm not. I have been approached on several different occasions by attorneys that were in court cases, but in each case they have been attorneys for the defense, for the haunted attraction. I've never even been approached by a plaintiff that was trying to sue a haunted house for some kind of injury. To be honest, in the four or five cases that I've had in the last 3 or 4 years, each one of them had been so frivolous that it was almost kind of a joke. There was only one that was really even serious. And, you know, I'm a haunted house expert. I get paid to be a haunted house expert, and attorneys are looking for that kind of information, looking for knowledge. And even if I did do something on the plaintiff's side, you know, unless there was actual liability on the haunt, I don't know why another haunted house would be concerned about it. But I did hear that there was a haunted house that was telling people that I was actively testifying against them in the court case. And I can tell you that's not the case. I do have one ongoing court case right now, but I'm on the side of the attraction. And I won't say who it is, but in the northern state, northwestern state.
Let me just ask you a quick question. Why would they call you for testimony? Would it be like a safety issue or something like
well,
that?
I'm
fuzzy why you'd be called as a witness or to
testify. When an attorney is filing a case, they're trying to get the plaintiff they're trying to get the defendant to settle out of court. And in many cases, what they'll do is they'll come up with this huge list of witnesses that, you know, to make it look like you're going to have to spend a huge amount of money defending yourself by doing a deposition for all these people and that kind of stuff. And so it's possible that my name got on a list like that, but I can guarantee you that no one from the plaintiff's side has contacted me directly about any case. So that's possibly where the rumor started from, and I can understand the haunt being upset with me about if I was doing that, but I can just promise you that it's just not the case.
Okay, but you did say you are involved in a case at this point.
Correct, on the side of the haunt. What happens is, and when an attorney is trying to, you know, if somebody gets hurt inside of a haunted house, the person that got hurt is trying to accuse the attraction of liability. You know, there was a wire across, you know, the way and I tripped. An actor bumped into me or grabbed me. You know, there's some kind of, they're trying to look for something that would be something that would make the attraction liable so that they would have to pay the court case. And so they bring the attractions themselves bring me in because I'm, you know, pretty much a haunted house code expert, so I can tell them no. You know, the corridor width was proper, the walkway height was proper, there was no trip hazard. I can recite code to them. You know, I've been in the industry for 35-plus years, so I can say, no, this is a normal situation. Yes, an actor is supposed to pop out and scare you because it's a haunted house. You know, the cases have been, the cases that I've dealt with have been so silly and frivolous that none of them ever even got to court. I think I was deposed once, and it was settled out of court, so everything else has been settled out of court. So I've never even testified against anybody, to be honest. But
go ahead.
That the rumor got out there somehow, and I'm just trying to let the industry know that it's simply not the case.
I see. You know,
we talk about on the show all the time, you know, in the litigious society we live in, somebody trips during a haunted trail and automatically it's the haunt's fault, not the fact that they're falling down over their own feet or something. But, okay. That makes sense. You know, as I said, you know, we hear the rumors. We just thought we would check on you there. And, you know, we don't want to disparage anybody from going to HauntCon in the...
I make my living through the haunted... I make my living through the haunted house industry. You know, I don't have a day job. I do haunted house consulting and design, and I do HauntCon, and I do findahaunt.com. And that's how I make my living. I don't have a day job to fall back on. Only an idiot would cut off his own arm and, you know, defend some, you know, patron against the haunted house. You know, if there was some kind of major liability, I would, if somebody hired me to do that, I would tell them the truth. But it doesn't make sense for me to be on the side of the plaintiffs, and the plaintiffs don't really know who I am. It's the people in the industry, the haunts, that know who I am, that say, hey, call this guy. He's a great expert witness. And I've done that, you know, like I said, four or five times now in my history, and I'm in the middle of one now.
Okay. So to basically sum it up, the rumor that you're testifying against a haunt is false. The fact that you will possibly testify on behalf of a haunt is true to a point if you are
correct.
Summoned.
Yeah, I've done that about four or five times now, but in most cases, but they never go to court. It's always just settled out of court, at least so far.
Well, you know how rumors get started sometimes, and
you letting me give me the opportunity to put this one to bed.
Absolutely. While I got you on the line here, and this is Monday the 5th of January, any brand spanking new HauntCon information you can get us? I mean, we've just announced in the news about the tours with 13th Gate Necropolis. Anything else you can mention at this point?
Yes, we were able to announce that 13th Gate and Necropolis will both be open for a Lights on Tour on Friday night during the show. Tickets are $65. It's going to be a great opportunity for people to get a behind-the-scenes look at probably the best haunted house in the country. I think 13th Gate is probably the best haunted house in the country. It's definitely in everyone's top five, and it's my favorite.
Looking at the map, that looks to almost be in walking range of the hotel.
It is, yeah. You're not going to need transportation. It's practically right next door. And that's the reason that we chose that hotel, is because it was so close to Duane and 13th Gate.
Very nice. Well, we did not have the price before. We have it now. So I guess go check out HauntCon.com again for all the information. Again, Leonard, thanks for coming on the show and clearing up that interesting thing there. And we will certainly be talking to you again as the time gets nearer to HauntCon. Once again, Drew Badger live here in the studio, and we are out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstra medalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.